Americans have long been fascinated by war films. So much so, says Lawrence Sued, that many Americans form their ideas about war from the movies. Sued is the author of Guts and Glory, The Making of the American Military Image in Film. In his new updated edition of the book, Sued explores the symbiotic relationship that has developed between Hollywood and the military over the years. If the military thinks a movie might help its image, it often provides filmmakers with sophisticated equipment, expertise, and even access to military bases and troops. But in order to get the military's cooperation, filmmakers frequently change their scripts and make other accommodations. Sued says this relationship between the movies and the military dates back to the earliest days of filmmaking, but was interrupted by the war in Vietnam.
The policies remain the same. The problem was the filmmakers did not want to make movies about Vietnam because the war was not popular, did not know when the war was going to end, and they didn't want to be stuck with films in the production. The controversies surrounding the war made filmmakers much more reluctant to approach the military. The military also was concerned about how it would be portrayed. There were movies being made which were showing the military, most of them made without cooperation.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stories in there that are in your book that are very interesting in the time right after Vietnam have to do with filmmakers like Francis Ford Coppola trying to make Apocalypse Now, which was a movie that you would think clearly the military wasn't going to like. I was surprised that he wanted their cooperation and expected, I guess, their cooperation as much as he did.
Well, he's a little bit naive in the first place. The Army simply could not have one of its officers being sent out to terminate another officer.
Are you an assassin? I'm a soldier. You're neither. You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks to collect a bill.
If Coppola had changed terminate to investigate and take appropriate action, he would have gotten at least minimal assistance. He ultimately discovered he didn't need it. He could go to the Philippines and get cooperation.
But what interested me about the story is that he actually at one point appealed to the president, went right to the president.
He sent a telegram to President Carter congratulating him on being inaugurated and then saying to the effect that if he doesn't get a modicum of assistance, he will make the United States look absurd, not understanding that President Carter wasn't going to see the telegram, that it would be sent right over to the Defense Department, and at that point they weren't about to answer him.
Now, you said that the Army's image began to be sort of rehabilitated in film as Hollywood started making movies about the military in peacetime.
Right.
You give as an example a movie like Top Gun, for example.
Well, it starts before then, and it's all the services. But it does culminate with Top Gun. You have Tom Cruise. You have planes flying all over the sky, which is always dramatic.
I got a good lock. Firing. Woo! Splash four!
Mustang, this is Voodoo 3. Remaining MiGs are bugging out.
Yeah! It was really a 1930s recruiting movie set in the 80s. And that after that, the American people were back to seeing the military in positive terms. This led to the ease with which the American people supported the Gulf War. Mm-hmm. Because once again, they had seen American jets shooting down the enemy, the bright young men doing their job. And so it was a very positive portrayal, and all the services benefited. Even though it was a Navy aviation film, recruitment went up in the Army and in the Army Air Corps and in the Marines.
Mm-hmm. What about a more recent film, Black Hawk Down? Did the military cooperate with that?
Yes, they gave full cooperation, and for a reasonable sum of money, they sent some Black Hawk helicopters over to Morocco where they were doing the filming.
And it was critically acclaimed as well as I think you said, also well-received in the Pentagon.
Well, it was well-received, and the Army was satisfied with the film. It's reasonably positive.
All right, gather around! All right, Durant 6-4 is down. We're going back in to get him.
That's crazy. Is there anyone alive on that?
Doesn't matter. No one gets left behind. You know that.
I'm wasting time here.
All right.
It suggested that these guys knew what they were facing. And yes, even though 18 died during the battle, the Army expected casualties. The men themselves understood the risks they were taking. Even though they suffered some losses, they were able to extricate most of the men. And it showed the people doing their job bravely.
How do you explain the sort of renewed interest that there is in World War II, Saving Private Ryan, Pearl Harbor, movies like this?
Well, Vietnam we lost, and there's never going to be a happy ending to any Vietnam story. World War II provides heroes. It provides a happy ending, if you will. The United States wins ultimately in the wars, even with Tora, Tora, Tora and Pearl Harbor, both of which portray the greatest naval defeat of all time, we know we're going to win. So there is a happy ending off there somewhere. What is interesting, of course, now is that with computer-generated graphics, the filmmakers, in a sense, no longer need the military. And that really changed with the movie Independence Day. The filmmakers wanted cooperation, but the Air Force said, we don't have aliens buried somewhere in the desert. You have to change it. If they had not had computer-generated graphics to make their airplanes, they would have had to change the script because they would have needed American airplanes. So starting with Independence Day, in many cases, they don't really need the military anymore, except for individual soldiers doing their jobs.
Hollywood was afraid that after September 11th, audiences wouldn't go to war films, but that has not proved to be the case.
Once Behind Enemy Lines came out and people went to see it, they realized, well, people like action-adventure, and they're not worried about that. So then all these films did get released, Behind Enemy Lines, We Were Soldiers, Black Hawk Down. Even peacetime military films have appeal because the uniform itself offers glamour, and it films take people to places where most of them cannot go on their own. They're exotic, if they're colorful, if they're romantic, people will go and see them.
Lawrence Suett is the author of Guts and Glory, The Making of the American Military Image in Film.